Today I'm talking about some research we've done at the Aspen Face site in north central Wisconsin. As you mentioned, on the elevated effects of carbon dioxide and ozone on resistance of paper birch against bronze birch borer. Concentrations of carbon dioxide have been increasing exponentially since the Industrial Revolution. And current concentrations are at 377 parts per million, and they're expected to approximately double by 2060. Ozone is found within two layers of our atmosphere. There's the good ozone found within the stratosphere that absorbs the harmful UV radiation, and there's the bad ozone that's found within the troposphere, and this is the ozone I'm going to be talking about today. Concentrations of tropospheric ozone have also been increasing since the Industrial Revolution. Current concentrations are at 34 parts per billion, and they're predicted to triple within the next 30 to 40 years. How are these changes in the atmosphere going to affect plant-insect interactions? We are using the bronze birch borer paper birch system, which are both the bronze birch borer and the paper birch are native to North America. And as a buprestid, it's the larval stage of the bronze birch borer that causes damage to the tree. As the larvae feeds within the phloem, these galleries disrupt phloem nutrient transport. It's been hypothesized that defenses of angiosperm trees against wood-boring insects comprise of two categories, both constitutive and induced defenses. Constitutive defenses are those that are found always within the tree, and induced defenses are those that are found in result that respond to larval feeding. And induced defenses that we're specifically looking at are wound paradigm or callus formation. You can see the callus formation here on the paper birch exteriorly from the outside of the tree. And also we're looking at localized accumulation of secondary metabolites. So how do these changes in carbon dioxide and ozone affect resource allocation? Well, plant defense theory predicts that as elevated CO2 increases the assimilation of carbon dioxide into the plant, you'll have increased growth. And it's also known that ozone, as it negatively affects stomatophysiology, decreases photosynthesis and growth. So basically, these changes are changing the carbon balance of the plant. And so, for example, plants growing under elevated CO2 have increases in the current photosynthate, and it's this current photosynthate that's hypothesized to be important in the allocation to carbon-based defenses. So our specific hypotheses are based off these theories of resource allocation, specifically that trees growing under elevated CO2 will have an increase in allocation because there's an increase in carbon pool to these carbon-based defenses, and this will result in a decrease in bronze birch borer colonization. Second, that because of the detrimental effects of O3 on stomatophysiology, there'll be a decreased carbon pool available to be allocated to carbon-based defenses, and you will see a decrease in bronze birch borer colonization. And finally, that elevated CO2 will ameliorate some of the negative effects of ozone, so you'll see an intermediate bronze birch borer population within these trees. And our specific objective was to compare the phloem chemistry, both induced and constitutive chemistry, within these trees, and to quantify the bronze birch borer colonization within these trees, and then relate the phloem chemistry patterns that we are observing to bronze birch borer populations. This research was conducted at the Aspen Face site, which was initiated in 1997. And trees have been growing here under a factorial arrangement of carbon dioxide and ozone within among these rings. So we have a factorial arrangement of ambient and elevated levels of low CO2 and high CO2 and low ozone and high ozone. And the levels that are being elevated are those that are predicted at 2060. So the specific methodology we used is when bronze birch borer was noticed to be infesting these trees within these rings, which is around 2005, we began taking the records of the successful emergencies as indicated by the D-shaped exit holes and the larval galleries that you can see exteriorly through the tree. We also looked at the role of constitutive and localized induced effects by putting three treatments on a subset of those trees within those rings. So the constitutive chemistry was measured at an unwounded control. There was a mechanical wound control, and that we also looked at the induced response by applying a bronze birch borer homogenate to the wound. And then around those wounds, we took a larger plug to analyze the carbon-based defenses within the plant. So we looked at the total phenolics, the tannins, and the lignin, which are the carbon-based defenses, and the amount of nitrogen within these tissues. We also looked at the rate of callus growth. This callus, you can see the callus growth here, is starting to grow over this wound. And these data were analyzed using a mixed model analysis with the alpha 0.1. So this graph shows the percentage of trees colonized among the various atmospheric treatments over time. And you can see that consistently from 2005 to 2008, that the trees growing in the elevated ozone, low CO2, had the highest colonization among these rings. However, recently there's been an increase in the proportion of trees that have been colonized by bronze birch borer in the high CO2 and low ozone rings. In the next series of graphs, I'm going to be showing those different carbon-based defenses on the y-axis and the atmospheric treatments on the x-axis. So for tannins, we didn't see a carbon dioxide or ozone effect on either constitutive or induced tannins. However, there was a non-significant but consistent response that seems to indicate maybe there is an induced response of the tree to the bronze birch borer present being within the tree. We also didn't see a carbon dioxide or ozone effects on constitutive or induced phenolics. And we didn't see a carbon dioxide or ozone effect on the constitutive amounts of lignin that's present within the tree. Nor did we see a carbon dioxide or ozone effect on the rate of callus growth that were among the atmospheric treatments. In fact, the only thing we found to be significant so far is that trees growing under high CO2 had a decreased nitrogen per weight compared to trees growing under low CO2. So what does this all mean? Well, we do the patterns of bronze birch borer colonization indicate that the bronze birch borer females are not just randomly colonizing these trees, that we are seeing an increased amount of bronze birch borer in the low CO2 high ozone trees, and more recently in the high CO2 low ozone rings. And we didn't see, as we had hypothesized, that elevated CO2 would increase these pools of carbon-based defenses. And so far, we haven't seen that chemical defenses and the rate of callus growth are very good at explaining the patterns of bronze birch borer colonization. However, we haven't looked at individual phenolics yet. And these may be very important because bronze birch borer and paper birch have shared a long coevolutionary history with one another. As I mentioned, we did see that trees growing under elevated CO2 had a decreased nitrogen content. However, we don't know what form this nitrogen is in. And I didn't present this, but we also found that nitrogen co-varied with the pattern of bronze birch borer colonization. So there may we would like to further investigate the role of nitrogen in these patterns. And finally, I'd like to leave you with the thought that our research is mostly focused on how these compounds affect larval performance, but female preference may also be very important in explaining these patterns of bronze birch borer colonization, especially considering when we were monitoring the bronze birch borer colonization, we were looking at both successful and non-successful development because the larval galleries that we are observing don't necessarily all successfully become adults. With that, I'd like to thank the Mattson Lab, the Herms Lab, which isn't pictured here, Pri and Lauren, who helped me with preparing my samples for analysis, and Larry Phelan for his support. And with that, I'd like to take any questions or suggestions. if there's time.
Here's a question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other systems have shown that, you know, sizes of trees can affect female preference. It could be something in the leaves. I mean, it could be a myriad of different things. Green leafy volatiles within the leaves. It could be something within the bark, the exterior chemistry, like triterpenoids. I really don't know yet.
Thank you, Vanessa.